Tonight we come to ordain four new deacons and to elect, well not elect, but to install all of our deacons. And I want you to notice something. If you can kind of see these men and their wives down here, there is a wonderful, wonderful age cross-section. Thank you very much, Wordsmith Gill. A wonderful cross-section. We have people in their 30s all the way up to in their 60s. And this is something that is very, very, very healthy. This is something that is very good for the church. It's something that we should be very excited about, that we value the wisdom that's found in our more mature people who've walked with Christ for a longer period of time. We also value the passion and the fresh perspective that comes with some of the guys that may be a little younger. So that's something that we should be excited about as a church. It's something that I'm excited about. But now I want to turn my attention to four that we are specifically ordaining tonight. Brian, Ari, and Dan Newsom, Ron Lucarini Sr., and Kevin Schrader. The four of you that we are ordaining tonight, we have the privilege of getting to ordain you as a deacon. Now, what is a deacon? First question that we ask, what is a deacon? Well, at its simplest, and I'm going to talk primarily to you guys, okay? At its simplest, a deacon is a servant. At its very simplest, that's what a deacon is. It's a servant. Literally, it means table waiter. But the Greek word for deacon is diakonos, and it's literally a servant. Let me put it to you like this. Jesus is talking in Matthew 20. Listen to this. It says, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. The word there for servant, diakonos. So you could really read it like this. Whoever would be great among you must be your deacon. It's a service role. That's what it is. Jesus kind of in the same thing in chapter 23. The greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest among you should be diakonos. That is what a deacon is. At its simplest, it is a servant. Servant of Christ and of His church. And so the calling that you have as a deacon is a very, very, very high calling. There are only two offices in the church, biblically. Two offices. Pastor / elder / overseer, whatever term you're going to use there, and deacon. Those are the two offices. And there's only two. And so your calling as a deacon is a very, very high office. And so it is our privilege tonight and our responsibility to get to set you aside as deacons. And by ordaining you, we're not saying to you that you're some sort of now, just because we're going to ordain you, that you're somehow some sort of new super spiritual Superman Christian. But what we are saying is that you are being set aside as servants for this church. And that's who you are. And we're putting our stamp, our corporate stamp, this body of believers, this community of faith here, this family of faith is putting their stamp on you as men called out to be servants here. And so this is a wonderful, wonderful privilege for us. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 10, Paul writes, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. And guys, we've put you through detailed questioning. We've given you the forms that you filled out, and we've been watching your life. Like, you had the questioning, but we've tested you through questioning. We've also tested you just by watching your life. I mean, we've been going at this church for like 20 months now. We've had a chance to get to see one another, see how you're serving without being in some sort of role. Just, do you serve? How you live your life without being in some sort of role where you look to something, just how you live your life. And we've watched that. We have tested you. The church has tested you in this. And so before we actually lay hands on you and ordain you into this role, I just want to remind you, I just want to charge you guys, the four of you, Kevin, Brian, Ron, and Dan, I want to charge you just with the qualifications that we have seen in you to continue to live in them, to continue to live up to those qualifications. They're right there in 1 Timothy 3. Listen to the Word of God. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The first thing I want to charge you guys with is to remain, to be dignified. What it means to be dignified is honorable, respected. So remain, live up to that. Continually make war on that old flesh, to kill that old flesh, to kill the new self. Take the old self off, put the new self on. Kill the old self, put the new self on. Remain dignified. The second thing you see there is not double-tongued. What that's talking about is two-face, where you say one thing out of one side of your mouth to this group of people and say something different out of this side of your mouth to this group of people to try to affect some sort of outcome that you desire. Don't be double-tongued. And if you're double-tongued, that means you're not dignified. Stay dignified. Remain dignified. Next thing you see here is not addicted to much wine. Don't be addicted to alcohol or to anything. Don't be addicted to anything except one thing. Be addicted to Christ. Be addicted to Christ and His cross. And the next thing you see here is also dishonest gain, greedy for dishonest gain. Don't be lovers of money. Be lovers of Jesus. Be lovers of the people of God, those that you are going to be serving. And then be tested first to let them see. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified. Wives, here's something for you. Be dignified. Not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Guys, shepherd your wives. Help them in that. And remain committed to your wives. The husband of one wife. Remain committed to your wife. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, stay committed to your wives, managing your children and your households well. Disciple your children if you have small children or you're going to have small children. Disciple your families. Disciple your households. Manage your household well. Wherever you're at in your stage of life, do those things. For those who serve well as deacons, gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Christ has given two offices to His church, pastors and deacons, and it's a high calling. The calling of being a Christian is a high calling. And Paul puts it like this in Ephesians 4. He says, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." He urges that to all Christians. Tonight, I want to urge that specifically to you. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling of Christ on your life. Walk in that. Walk in that way. And church family, you have nominated these guys, and they have been tested through questionnaires, through watching their life. And just as it describes in Acts 6, and just as it instructs us to do in 1 Timothy 3. And they've been tested, and then they've been confirmed by your vote just last week. And so now it's our wonderful privilege to formally set them aside and to ordain them into the church office of deacon. And so what I'm going to ask us to do is for all men in the church who are ordained, whether you that is as a deacon or as a pastor or as a missionary, all men who are ordained, stand up and please come forward. And the four of you, Kevin, Brian, Ron, and Dan, if you would come stand and face the congregation. And if all other ordained men in the church would come and gather around them, lay hands on them, Rusty Summerall, director of the Nashville Baptist Association, is going to come and he is going to pray over these men as we formally lay hands on them and ordain them. But Rusty, I want to ask you to do one thing before you pray. Just give us a few minutes, just silently. Guys, I want you to pray for them just right where you're at. Let's just spend a few minutes in prayer. Marilyn, if you would just pray quietly for a minute. Just let us pray over them, and then you come to the mic and pray.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight to pray a prayer of dedication over these men, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for everything that you've done in their life up until tonight to prepare them to serve you in this church. Father, we thank you the way that their lives have been a testimony to this church, to the point where the church has brought them tonight to separate them out to serve as deacons, Lord. Father, as they serve as deacons, I just pray that you will give them your strength, Father. We pray that you will give them your power, Lord, and that you will use them in a mighty way to serve among their brothers and sisters in this church, Lord. We ask that you will give them the wisdom that they need to be the ministers that they need to be as they serve here in the church. Father, I pray for their wives and their families, Lord, that you will be with them, because we know that there'll be times that they'll be called away to serve among the flock and be away from their families. And Lord, we pray for them and their families, Lord. We pray that their wives can walk beside them and encourage them and help them to be stronger deacons and stronger servants for you. Lord, we just thank you so much for providing the leaders in the church that the church needs. And God, tonight we thank you for these men, and we thank you for all the deacons of this church, Lord. And we just praise you that you lift up people to serve you in your church. And God, we look forward to the way that you're going to use these men to serve you, and we look forward to how you're going to use them. And Lord, I pray for the congregation tonight that they'll let these men be servants, and that they'll use them as servants in this church. And Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Now we turn our attention to the installation, the commissioning of the first set of deacons ever here at Providence. Amen, absolutely. And what I want to do is I want to remind us, both as a congregation and the seven of you and the six of you who are here today and your wives, I want to remind us about, we've talked about what it is, what the qualifications are, and living up to those and all that. Now I want to remind us about what the duties of a deacon are, what it is that you are being installed to do and to carry out. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 6. Acts chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. You've got this food problem going on. Gossip probably creeps up in this. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So what are the duties of a deacon. The word deacon, actually, right here, we never saw the word deacon. We did see a verb form of it in verse 2 where it says, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." That's a verbal form of the noun diakonos. These were the first ever deacons elected to the church here in Jerusalem. The first deacons that were elected. And what was their purpose? I think there's three things that we see in their purpose that I want to charge us as a congregation to keep in mind and charge the seven of you. This is the duty to which you're being called. And the first one that we see here is caring for the physical needs. These deacons cared for the physical needs. I mean, that's the whole reason that they were put in place. There's a problem with the widows. They're not getting their food. They're caring for the physical needs. So one of the things that you will do is, just like Jesus, seeking to see people served and saved. Okay, just like Jesus, you will care for physical needs. So here, what that means is you will be very much involved in benevolence ministry. Very much involved in the benevolence ministry of the church. That's what's happening here with these deacons. Caring for people. Caring for the poor. Caring for those that are widowed. Caring for, here in the 21st century, shut-ins. Visiting those that are in the hospital. Helping to disperse monetary gifts to those that we come across. Managing all of that. Talking, discussing all of that. That is something that you guys, that we are entrusting you to do, is to care for the physical needs of the body of this church. Caring for their physical needs, and then also seeking to meet, just like Jesus, seeking to see people served and saved through the physical needs, spiritual needs as well. That's one of the duties that you're being charged with as a deacon. A second one that you're being charged with is to strive for the unity of the body. So what you see here again, there's a problem that arises. It's creating tension. There's gossip going on behind the scenes. Well, you didn't give me this, and you didn't give me this, and they came in and they worked for the unity. Okay, so what one of the things that you guys will do will be very much involved in working with the membership. So you've got benevolence, and then you have membership. Working with the membership, seeing when you hear of gossip, when you hear of problems, you work to put that down and come to a resolution. Also, when new members, we're being blessed to have new members come into our church. With new members, seeking to see that they get assimilated, that they get acclimated, that they get plugged in and don't slip through the cracks. And folks who maybe we haven't seen in a while, following up with them and making sure that they're not falling through the cracks. Making sure that everyone is being cared for. Keeping check on our role. Making sure our numbers actually match who comes, and not getting to that blown out proportion where, you know, suddenly we have 800 members and we have, you know, 300 on Sunday. We want to make sure that we're accurate with that. No one slips through the cracks. So, benevolence ministry, working with our membership. And then the third thing that we see here in chapter 6 is a supporting, here these deacons, that they support the ministry of the apostles. Now, we have no apostles in here. If you didn't know that, that John and Tom and I weren't apostles, then we need to have a discussion. Okay, no apostles in here. Simply pastor teachers. But the principle remains here. And let's just read it real quick. Verse 3, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men," and he kind of gives some qualifications even here, "of good repute," this is Dr. Luke, "full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Okay, so the deacons were elected to fulfill some of these practical things so that the apostles here, or pastor teachers, could devote themselves to ministry of prayer and of the word. So one of the things that you guys will do on a very practical way, you will carry this out, is through the ministry of the ordinances. Helping with the logistics and the details of the ordinances. What are the ordinances? There are two ordinances in the life of a church: baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so you guys will be heavily involved in those, as well as various, that's the thing about deacons. There are some guideline roles here, but it's not so defined that that when needs, I mean, a deacon is a servant. So when needs crop up, that is what you will fill. That is what you will meet. And each church, that's why deacons can look a little bit different in each church, because there are different needs for different churches. Some churches have more of a physical need emphasis. Some churches have more of a membership need emphasis. And some of those can go together, but there'll be different needs. And so we will work closely together as pastors and as deacons, seeking needs, meeting those needs. You guys will meet those needs so that we can continue to focus on prayer and on the ministry of the word. And one of the ways you'll do that is specifically through the ordinances, Lord's Supper and baptism, and assisting in those things. But before, and just I want us to make sure we do one thing, both as a congregation and the seven of you, before we just simply reduce the ministry of deacons to those three roles of benevolence, membership, and then the ordinances and working, before we simply reduce it to those three roles, I want us to think through what we saw in Acts, okay? So you're going to have to put your brains on, because Acts 6 was like last summer, I think, okay? After Acts 6, what is the next thing we see a deacon doing? It's in chapter 7. We see Stephen sharing. We see Stephen witnessing. And then the next thing we see is we see Stephen being martyred. And then the next thing we see is we see Philip, also a deacon, witnessing to who? To the outcasts of society. And then the next thing we see is Philip doing what? Baptizing the outcasts of society. So we can't simply just reduce it to those three areas. Those are the three primary areas. But a deacon is a servant. A deacon meets needs in the church. And so that is what you're being charged to do. That is what you're being commissioned to do. That is what you're being installed to do. And so deacons have a hugely important and varied ministry. I cannot overstate the importance of it, because sometimes deacons will save a church from self-destruction. That's what happened here in chapter 6. And that's your duty. That's your duty. It is a huge, huge privilege and responsibility. And so, church family, as we prepare to officially install these seven men as the first ever deacons here at PBF, and in view of their ministry of membership and benevolence and protecting the church and working in such a way that the pastors can have time to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word, and specifically helping there through the ordinances, as we prepare to ordain them in that, I want us to remember something. And that's our membership covenant. This is what you guys are going to be charged to help protect. Is something that we have all pledged to live out. And you guys in particular will be charged to pledge that. And so John's going to come and he's going to remind us of our membership covenant. And we're going to do this as a responsive reading. So listen to John as he leads us.
Our covenant isn't scripture, but it's something that we as PBF have come to affirm together. It's a promise made to each other, not from the pastors of the congregation, not from the congregation to the deacons or any other structure, but from member to member. We promise this. We covenant this together. What we're going to do is just read this. And if you are a member of PBF, I want to ask you to read it with me. You'll notice up here, the very first line there, it's in all capitals. That's your part. We'll all read that together, and then I will read the rest, and then we'll come to the next one. We will read all the I's of this as we promise to one another what we're going to do, and then I'll fill in the rest. So, as led by the Holy Spirit, we as a group of baptized believers come together in covenant. I will protect the unity of our church by acting in love toward the other members, by refusing to gossip, by following our leadership. I will share in the responsibility of our church by praying for its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit, by participating in missional living. I will serve in the ministry of our church by discovering my spiritual gifts and talents, and specifically tonight we have our deacons, by serving on a ministry team, by being equipped to serve alongside my pastors, and by developing a servant's or a deacon heart. I will support the testimony of my church by attending worship and small groups faithfully, by living a godly life, by giving regularly to the financial needs of our church. Congregation, your pastors have very specifically asked all of these men, are they going to do this? And they've said yes. And we now covenant together, all of us, but especially as these deacons. They promise you, and I hope you will promise them, because we expect them to hold you accountable to do exactly that.
So at this time, what we want to do is invite the entire church, okay? Because we're installing these guys as for the entire church, not just the, when we ordained, we had the ordained men come forward. But to install them in our church, I want to invite our entire church to come. If you would stand, wives as well, come stand here at the front. And if you would face outwards. And those of you who feel so led, if you would come and surround them. I'll give us a little bit of time to just to pray over them as we install them. And then I will come and pray over them as well. God, Lord, we give you thanks for these six men that are down here and their wives, and the seventh who already had a vacation scheduled. God, we give you thanks for bringing us together. Lord, you have knit this church together from unique circumstances and have brought into the church from a myriad of different ways. And those who are all around us here in Nolensville. And you continue to do this. And Lord, I pray as these deacons serve that we will see exactly what happened in the book of Acts in chapter 7, or in chapter 6, where it says in verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. God, may that be true here in our Jerusalem of Nolensville. God, I just pray your manifold blessing upon these men and women. Father, that they would truly, in all ways, Lord, seek to be like you and be a servant. That they would remember that that is what a deacon is. It is a servant position. And Father, they would remember that in all ways, you must increase and we must decrease. And Father, that they would meet the practical needs. And Father, that in doing so, there would be spiritual needs, and that they would reap there, and that they would serve well, and they would see people served and saved in your name for your glory and for the benefit of mankind. So God, pour out your wisdom upon them. Father, may they walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, anoint them in a mighty way for your service here in this church. Pour forth your power and your goodness and your wisdom and your grace, your kindness and your mercy, your patience, your long-suffering. Lord, may they embody those and may they truly protect the unity of the church. And Father, help us to as a church, to support them to do this. Help us to support them and support their families as they are away serving here in the church. So God, I just thank you for these guys and for these wives. You are, just as we studied this morning, you are a good God who gives good gifts, better than we could ever even ask or want, and you have given us some good gifts in these men and these women. And so, God, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys be seated. We have a gift that we want to give to everyone. And so Tom's going to come and he's going to talk to us a little bit about what this gift is.
You guys can go ahead and have a seat there if you wish, just for the next couple minutes here.
Yeah.
No, actually, wait. Just wait. One of the things that we felt like is very important as a church is when we set aside men for service, whether it be for deacon or maybe one day setting aside men for pastors, is to make sure that we equip them, to invest in them, to give them the proper tools to carry out their responsibilities. And we obviously feel that the greatest greatest gift we could give them is the Word of God. It is the greatest gift that God gave us outside of His Son, Jesus, to equip us to know His Word, to understand how to live in this world. And so I want to read a passage to you real quick, and then we have a gift for you, and I'll explain what that is here in just a second. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And this is Paul's charge to Timothy. Very familiar passage we're all very, very well aware of. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." We this week we went ahead and purchased an ESV study Bibles for all of our deacons we set aside there. And I know some of you guys are really jealous right now, and you should be. And the ESV study Bible is a wealth of knowledge and great tools. And we felt like beyond the Word of God, this particular study Bible gives just a lot of things to help aid in their study. And we also just want to give that to them as a gift and say thank you for your service in up front, because there will be many times when you will think this is a thankless job probably, and because that's, you know, it's just how things are in church sometimes. But we thank you for that, and this is our gift to you, and we thank you for your service and your love and devotion to our church. So when I call your name, we're just going to go basically in order. Kenny is going to come forward. He's going to give you the Bible, and also each one of the Bibles has your name inscripted inside of it. So make sure, in case, just check, we'll double check it before you leave, make sure that you got the right one. And let me just go ahead and start calling in. Kevin Schrader, why don't you come forward? Awesome. Thank you. Fred Shanks. Brian Airy. Ron Lucarini. Dan Newsom. And Jeff Shaver. Ron Gunter was not able to be with us tonight. We'll make sure he gets his here this week when he gets back in from his vacation. Well, I think we're going to stand now. We're going to sing one last song. And so once you rise, as we sing...